Thank you, Vanya Walker-Lee from the Volta Business Weekly. Mr. De Silva, you've mentioned climate smart in passing, but I didn't hear the word agroecology. So what is your view of the role of agroecology in delivering these goals and also making agriculture more climate resilient? As you may know, a recent protest letter signed by 350 international and national NGOs, including faith groups, had a great many criticisms to make about the approach of the Global Alliance on Climate Smart Agriculture. And there's certainly some concern amongst NGOs that FAO is really pushing CSA and GACSA rather than agroecology. So what are your views?
Thank you. Let me get some other question before we go to the answers. Any other journalists here from Rome? I don't see any hand right now, so we turn into the podium for the answer. Director General?
I didn't mention agroecology and many other things because this is not about agroecology. The report is focused on rural transformation in connection with the cities and the impact of the cities on the rural transformation. Of course, agroecology is an important part of what we call smart agriculture, climate smart agriculture. I think that 3 years from now, FAO has been pushing for this approach of agroecology, and we see it as a promising for the near future. So, but this is another issue. Today, we would like to talk about rural transformation.
Thank you. I'm going to go. I can see online from Nairobi, our TV reporter from Nairobi, Zeinab Wandati. Zeinab, I hope you can hear me. You have the floor. Do you want to ask the question, Zeinab?
I hope, and it says that, yes, I'd like to address my question to Mr. Sanchez. I'm looking at your report. It says that poverty levels have declined slightly in most of sub-Saharan Africa, but then they've increased in Kenya and Zambia. I'd just like a little bit more specific information on that. Like, is this in the last year or is there a certain period of time that this was looking at? And if it has increased, what are the drivers of causing this poverty to increase and by what percentage? And then secondly, Kenya and many other parts of the whole world have been going through a very serious drought last year, which has put our food security situation in a very, very, very bad situation. But we've had a few programs like social protection program that is helping to pull these people out of severe malnutrition and out of starvation. However, what would you say is the thing that is making us, what's the word? I'm thinking in Swahili. What is the thing that you'd say is making us not be as food secure as we should be? Because the government, every year, the government is allocating a lot of money to ensure that we are food secure, to ensure that the farmers have the seed, they have everything that they need. Yet food production is still sufficient to feed the population.
Thank you, Zeinab. I'm going to ask Marco.
I'm not sure I could hear properly the last part of the question, but let me... Okay. Try to explain a little bit the context of our poverty rates analysis. Basically, what we try to understand is the evolution of poverty and also next to this, how urban and rural populations have evolved and how the number of poor as a percentage of the rural populations in the past 20 years, in the past decades. And that is the context where we do this analysis to conclude that some countries have been able to reduce rural poverty. And because of that, we have been trying to understand the reasons. And basically, one of the reasons is that these countries have been successful in transforming their economies. They have achieved a structural transformation of their economies at large, and at the same time, they have been able to transform their rural economies. And this has been done through agricultural productivity growth that have enabled farmers to grow incomes and, of course, also to link up with other sectors of the broader of farm economy, manufacturing and services and so on. And this is what we have seen has not happened in other contexts, like the context of sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia that I was trying to explain. I think you also mentioned in your question about the drought and the climate events. As the Director General said, we don't speak per se about climate, but one important point is that in implementing agri-territorial approaches, it is very important to understand the context. So in some contexts, for example, you can come up with a tool of agro-territory approaches in which you focus more on, say, agroecology or climate smart agriculture, depending on the needs of that particular context.
Thank you, Marco. Any other question here in Rome before? I see a gentleman down at the back, please.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Bernard Walter from Bread for the World. I have a question to Mr. Cantillo. I like a lot your approach to link the rural areas to the small towns which are around. But I also want to know what is your what do you think about link these rural areas to the mega cities? Yes, because we know that the mega cities are growing more and more. Are they fed by their own countries, or what do you think is more the world market who is responsible to feed these mega cities?
That precisely takes us to the subject matter of this publication. Essentially, the textbook kind of approach is one in which you look at rural population moving to mega cities or big, large cities. The report does not deny the importance of mega cities, particularly given urbanization, and especially because in mega cities you are seeing these changes in dietary patterns. What the report says is that there is life in between, right? So you have rural sectors, rural areas, and you have the mega cities, but we have been paying little attention to what is in between. And what is in between can provide excellent opportunities to grow economic activity beyond the farm. So let's say that mega cities play a critical role in the agri-territorial approach. They are very, very important, but they are part of the continuum that the Director General mentioned in his speech, from rural to small cities and towns, to big cities, to mega cities.
Any other question here in Rome? Otherwise, we are going to close with a very final last question. I see Zainab from NTV in Nairobi wanted to have a second question. I can see it from here. Zainab, you have the privilege to have the last question.
Yes. Yes, I'd like just a little bit more information about what agro-territorial development means specifically. And the reason I'm asking that is because Kenya has a very big problem when it comes to rural to urban migration, and the population in the city is constantly growing. And then we're also told that the agriculture industry supports at least 70% of the population here in Kenya. Now, it has been argued that the reason we're having so much problems with the agriculture sector is one, that having that many people in agriculture, yet their production not enough to sustain the entire 100% of the population. Yet we've got countries like Israel that have only 3% of the population in agriculture, and this 3% is able to produce enough food for the 97% as themselves. But in Kenya, even
I have the floor. Zainab, I'm going to ask 90, you.
70% of the population working in agriculture.
Zainab, we don't hear you very well. I'm going to ask you to repeat very slowly because you are speaking very quickly and I'm not sure our panelists are understanding the question. So if you could repeat briefly the question, but slowly. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I wanted a little bit of clarification on... in the context of rural-urban migration and how that would work for cities.
Did we get the question? I don't think we did. Marco, any guess?
Well, let me pick from a keyword, migration, perhaps. That's all I could hear clearly at the beginning. So perhaps, well, what the book touches upon the migration issues, and essentially the bottom line is that the book doesn't prescribe any intervention of policies to address migration per se, but what the book says is that precisely by improving the urban-rural linkages, what we are going to be doing is giving the poor populations more choice before they think about migration.
Thank you. I'm going to close here the press conference. I'm not sure whether the director wanted to add something at the end. Therefore, thank you very much all for attending here in Rome and from webcast. And thank you again, everybody, for being present. Thank you.